You're listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, visit nakedbiblepodcast.com and click on the support link in the upper right-hand corner. If you're new to the podcast and Dr. Heiser's approach to the Bible, click on New Start Here at nakedbiblepodcast.com.
Welcome to the Naked Bible Podcast, episode 320, Conversation Series Part 2. I'm the layman, Trey Strickland, and he's the scholar, Dr. Michael Heiser. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Pretty good under the circumstances, trying to get lots of stuff done and just try to do something normal or have it feel normal. I think it's an easier task for me than it is for everybody else here at the house, but you know, we're doing well. Everybody's healthy at this point, so we're thankful for that. And just trying to behave, you know, trying to do what we're supposed to do and all that sort of stuff, but otherwise adapting.
Did you mention that, have y'all shifted to pure online for the Awakening School?
Well, for the live classes, what I did was I went into the arena where we were holding them, me and a camera person, and then somebody to sort of work the soundboard, and we recorded the course content, and then we uploaded it, you know, each session according to the schedule that people already had blocked out. And then we did live Q&A, you know, live stream Q&A. So that's how the procedure changed for the live classes. For the people who were distance ed, nothing really changed. So, you know, for the most part, it's been very normal.
Well, Mike, your Demons book is right around the corner. I saw you posted where you got a box full of them.
And yeah, we have a box of demons in the house. It sounds like Ghostbusters.
Nothing's changed.
Right, nothing's changed. But yep, the books are real, so we're right on the cusp of having them shipped, so it's good news.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify, I was talking about your pugs, so I don't want Drina to get mad. All right. That's good. And you've given a couple away, so that's good. So be looking on social media for that, and I'm looking forward to my
We'll do some more of that.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, once again, we've got four more pastors to talk to who are on the front lines there of teaching your content. So looking forward to it.
Well, we're excited to once again have another round of pastors and church leaders on the podcast to talk about their hopefully positive experience. Trying to integrate, you know, the content of unseen realm and supernatural in what they do in terms of their preaching, you know, how they are able to sort of bridge the gap between the content and their congregation to, again, just, you know, make an effort to introduce people, you know, to some of the ideas, again, get them, you know, more acclimated to, you know, what's going on in Scripture in a number of regards, maybe some of the strange passages and whatnot. So this is our second round, and I'm going to ask each of our guests to introduce themselves briefly, who they are, where they're at, and sort of what their role is in their churches. So, Chad, we're going to start with you because I know Chad from times past. Chad was actually a former student of mine in Bible college and doesn't hate me. So, you know, still in ministry, which is just wonderful. Chad, we'll start with you, and then any one of you can just jump in after Chad's done. So go ahead, Chad.
All right. My name is Chad Wagner. I'm the pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Viroqua, Wisconsin. And I have one other person that works with me, but he's part-time. Just a little tiny church in the middle of Wisconsin. We have a wonderful ministry and a wonderful little church that just loves the Lord, and we're glad to be able to be a part of.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump in with Matt. He's also in Wisconsin. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, my name's Matt Mosaicus. I'm from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and I'm a worship pastor at Mount Zion Christian Church. And so we use your content quite a bit. And I've got a bunch of people that really just really like it. So I'm excited to talk with you about it.
Is Mount Zion, is that a non-denominational or is it a denomination?
It's non-denominational.
Okay. And Chad, I should have asked you too. Are you what are you, non-denominational or Baptist? Or I can't remember what you said.
We're not a part of, we're just an independent church. We're not a part of any denomination or fellowship.
Okay. Well, let's move to Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, I'm Tom Orzechowski from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my background is going to be just a little bit different. I came from church leadership of a non-denominational church, serving my wife and I. And I was on the board for over 20 years, and I wasn't directly involved with preaching, but heavily involved with the ministry. And at some point, we had a little bit of a crazy church split, and I ended up outside of the, got the left foot of fellowship on that. But there were several of us that congregated, a couple dozen of us, and we started meeting regularly for meals on Sundays, and we would watch YouTube videos and talk about them. And it wasn't too long before we stumbled into your content. We would get together, have a meal, watch a video, talk about it, move on to another one. And we were able to explore more complicated topics, and we grew a lot in the 3 years since we've been doing this.
Wow. Wow. Well, that'll be interesting to talk about in a bit. And lastly, Scott, go ahead. Yeah. Tell us who you are.
Yeah. My name's, Scott McFeet. I am the lead pastor at Refton Brethren in Christ Church here in Lancaster, PA. We're in lockdown right now. I actually became the lead pastor back in November of 2019. And prior to that, I was their student ministry director for several years. So I have a little bit of a unique perspective, and I've taught this to the students, and I'm also now currently doing this material with the adults.
Well, just so you know, I'm from Lebanon, Pennsylvania. That's my hometown.
Forty minutes away. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So you're in a good place. Yeah. I'll let you know, and maybe nobody else will understand. Oh, maybe from Wisconsin they'll understand this, but I found Scrapple in Florida last week, and nobody's hoarding that. They're hoarding toilet paper, but the Scrapple is mine. So I grew up on that. I don't know if you're from the area, but that was something we grew up with that I love, but I try not to eat too much of it. It is just what it sounds like.
You might be, I don't know if I'm different, but I stay away from Scrapple. So.
Well, most people do. But no, I love it. I was just thrilled to find it because you couldn't get that in the Northwest. So it's like, you know, it was a sign from God.
There you go.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys could come on and you know, again, share some experience about what you've been doing. I'd kind of like to, I'm really intrigued by what Tom said about the, you know, the left foot of fellowship. And so you've got a few dozen people. And like you said, you weren't preaching. So I don't know if you didn't have any preaching experience at all, or, you know, but it sounded like that would have been difficult. Maybe just in terms of prep, but tell us about, you know, like what did you start with on the videos? Cause I'm kind of curious as to, you know, how you found my content specifically. Like there are things I'm hoping you didn't find right away on video, and then there are other things that would have been just right.
Okay. Well, there's a lot out there.
I know. Believe me. And
So it really, let me just fill in just a little bit more. So not only, it was a double whammy. Not only did we have a kind of a nasty church split, and there's a lot of us that just sort of walked away. I was actually pushed out. There was another church, some friends of ours that had started, and they had a failure in leadership, a moral failure, actually, and that church fell apart. And I my heart really went out to these people. They were going through another breakup, and that's when I took the reins. I stepped in, I paid the rent on the building, and we started to meet there. And I wasn't real interested in, you know, having a traditional church. And so I just arranged the tables, we had meals, and we just started watching these videos. And that was a hard habit to break. People wanted me to teach them and lead them and do everything, but I just had to bite my tongue and show a video and we'd talk. We found a website called The Work of the People that had little topical videos, and they would interview people like N.T. Wright or Greg Boyd, these people, and they would have a little thing to say. And we would watch that, and it just led us into it. And then we went out there into the raw wild west of YouTube. We had definitely explored some doctrine, and we had watched a lot of things. I even would interleave things. I would take George Carlin and interleave that with N.T. Wright and just show that they were saying the same things. Just one of them cussed a little more. And that was, these are mature believers. Okay. These weren't new people. These were mature believers that hadn't ever been fed the content. So we were able to explore things. I mean, we had gotten past some of the bad futurist theology, some of the doctrinal landmines that we had stumbled into. But there was a lot more. And I remember talking to the group and saying, look, I want to show you this guy, Michael Heiser. And I don't know about this. I don't know if this is heresy or not, but we're going to need to look at this together and talk about it. And that's how we got into it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Did you do anything with the Bible Project?
Absolutely.
When video comes up, that's the first thing I think of. You know,
we would watch a Bible Project video pretty much every week. That was kind of nice to do, because we would watch about 10 videos a week, and they were anywhere from 3 to 7 minutes, and then we'd talk for a while after it. Mm-hmm. And there were definitely some interesting things that we didn't agree with. I played a lot of things that I didn't agree with, but I was kind of the VJ. And mm-hmm. at that, I'm a binge watcher of YouTube. Like, I don't watch TV and that, but I'll watch on average probably 4 hours of YouTube a day, and it's not entertainment. So I collect these things and save the playlists, and that's sort of what we did. But your name actually came to me through a friend of mine that was a pastor in Norfolk, Virginia. And he said, you got to check out this guy. He told me about Bible Project too. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we were introduced.
Yeah. I've spoken in Norfolk. My brother actually lives in Virginia Beach, and he did live in Norfolk for a while. So maybe it's somebody I know out there.
Scott Crowder.
Boy, it does sound familiar. I might've, had an internet chat with him or email or something, but that's interesting. All right. So video was your introduction. How about anybody else? I mean, I'm not going to call on people, but how did you get started? What was the catalyst or point of entry for both you? Let's just start with you, and then we can talk about how you got your people involved. Now, in Tom's case, it's pretty obvious, but go ahead. Anybody else? What was the entry point?
Well, my entry point was you at school, Mike. I guess mm-hmm. that's when I first got introduced to you. And so my attraction to you was, you were an awesome professor, and I appreciated what you did there and just how you taught there. And so I can't say I'm a Michael file or anything like that, but I just have appreciated so much your desire to teach the Word of God, and it's helped me in my ministry. And so that's kind of been my introduction. So mine's a little bit different. And my ministry is a little bit different. I'm not using a lot of videos or anything like that. We're a little tiny church in the middle of the country. And so I'm not doing any of those kinds of things, but your information gets used all the time in my ministry, whether I'm counseling or I'm preaching, it comes out. I just teach it, and I've not gotten any bad reactions from anybody up to this point, because it just makes sense. So that's, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
that is helpful.
If you just teach it, people are like, well, yeah, that's what it says. So they usually don't have a problem with it. It's, you know, and you'll run into the occasional people, but it's like I told you when you contacted me, it's usually from people that have some type of an agenda, who are trying to disprove your material as opposed to just taking it for what it could be. So,
yeah, that's the struggle to be right.
Yeah, the struggle to be right. Exactly.
Wow. So in terms of books, I mean, what did you read? I mean, Supernatural, Unseen Realm, or something on the blog?
I read Unseen Realm, and I've read a bunch of stuff by Walton. Unseen Realm was awesome. I appreciated that. It put so many things into perspective. for me. Even the issue of tongues, it helped me out with that area. You know, the cosmic geography, just looking at different things, you know, being able to understand what am I reading here as I'm going through the Psalms, what's going on here. I can tell you where it's another place where it's helping me out right now is just in relationship to I've got a guy who's a flat earther in my church. Mm-hmm. And it's no longer this faceless idea that's out there. I'm now interacting with somebody and I'm loving them and trying to work through this with them in a godly way. And so it's just having those, you're just an awesome resource. If there's anything I run into that's slightly crazy at all, I know Mike Heiser probably has something on that.
Yeah, that's what I'll put on my tombstone right there. And we'll sign your name.
I appreciate it because, well, but like this guy, for him, the flat earth stuff was how he started reading the Bible. He was not a believer. He mm-hmm. got involved in this flat earth stuff, started reading the Bible, ends up getting saved. And now we're, you know, this is something that's brought him to Christ, this whole issue. And mm-hmm. he's very invested in it and trying to work through that. Boy, that's just a huge challenge. And so I just appreciate some of the resources that you provide through your ministry. So that's what I appreciate.
How about the other two? We have to hear from Matt and Scott yet. What was the entry point?
Oh, for me, I'm in seminary right now working on my master's degree. And they used in our Old Testament's background class a lot of John Walton stuff. And I was just kind of drawn to that supernatural worldview and kind of went looking for more material and found your stuff and read Unseen Realm in a day and then read it again like a week later. And
there should be some award for that.
Yeah, this was about maybe 2 years ago. And so how we kind of introduced it at our church, after I read it, I'm a worship pastor, so I don't do a lot of preaching. I do the singing and the music stuff. But I also teach Bible studies on Wednesday nights. We have elective type Bible studies going on, a bunch of different ones at our church on Wednesdays. So I gave Unseen Realm to our senior pastor, and he read it in like a week, and he like absolutely loved it, and then had our whole staff read it. So
wow.
So it was
captive audience.
Yep. Yeah. So I just lent him the book and said, hey, you might want to read this. And we were teaching through 1 Peter at the time. He was, and he used your stuff on baptism and spiritual warfare in his sermons. And
I'm so glad he didn't just get up in the pulpit and say, we're just gonna skip this.
Yep, no, yeah.
Like my own experience, you know, that one church, boy.
Yeah, so I've taught Galatians is kind of where I introduced it. In Galatians 3, the transgressions. You had an episode on that. And so that's kind of where I introduced it to kind of our Sunday school type Wednesday night discipleship type classes. And some people like absolutely loved it and gravitated towards it. Some had some questions with it, but so I helped walk them through it and kind of gave them some of your material and showed them how it wasn't heresy. And then I taught it kind of next with my friend Ryan. He's a PhD and he's into this stuff also and has a YouTube channel that talks about similar stuff to you. But we co-taught a class on basically the theology of Job. And so we mm-hmm. kind of went through that cosmic geography and supernatural worldview in that class as well and tied in a lot of your material and Walton's as well. And I just finished Colossians this past Wednesday and used a ton of your stuff when you taught through it on the podcast. And the reception to that, especially in Colossians, was really good. We had a couple like brand new Christians who like didn't kind of understand the like supernatural worldview in that class. And they said it was like completely eye opening. And they now like read the Bible through a whole like completely different lens, and stuff that was weird just makes so much more sense now.
Wow. That's good. Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess my story starts back in 2017. You and Trey actually interviewed my Greek professor. That was Dr. Thomas Hudgens.
I had
never heard of the Naked Bible Podcast before. So he turned us on to that. Of course, I had to listen to it. And next thing I know, I was listening to as many as I could. Fast forward several months, I finally decided to get the Unseen Realm. I took way more than a day to go through that. I took about 3 months to go through it, and I just combed through it, because I'm like, man, this was the first time I had heard, well, all of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Unseen Realm was really kind of a branching point for me. It was kind of just the start. I went off and then read Angels, another one of your books. I picked up some others like God's Rivals by Gerald McDermott and mm-hmm. The Origin of Evil Spirits by Archie Wright, which is not an easy read.
No, it's not.
But it's good. The Bible Project started picking up on this stuff, and which was really good. They helped me even kind of further unpack this, but it took about a year before I was like, okay, I think I need to teach this. And at that point I was a student ministry director. But I was really concerned, cause I had read some blogs and concerns of people who were teaching this, who were like basically kicked out of their church. The last thing I wanted was to teach this stuff to the students and then them going home and talking to their parents and saying, who knows what? And they're like, well, what in the world is Scott teaching? Right. Yeah. So what I did was, I started a blog, for each lesson that I taught the students. I had a blog specifically for the parents, and I told the students, look, don't go home to your parents, talking about all this kind of stuff. And then just saying, well, go talk to Scott. No, tell them to go read the blog first and then come to me with questions, which they did. I was surprised. I just kind of wanted a bit of a buffer, before people just kind of misinterpret what I'm trying to teach.
What was the age group when you say students? Give us
well,
the age group.
Yeah, this is middle school through high school.
Okay.
Our kids like content. I've found that the more you challenge them, the more they step up. It's definitely not a fluffy kind of student ministry where we just kind of talk about one verse and then how I feel about it. It was when I first started, the first lesson was on the word Elohim. And when I started talking about that, I said, guys, I'm going to need you to all have a Bible. That I was shocked. That was the first time I ever saw them like jump up out of their chairs and run to the back of the room and grab Bibles. And they're like, opening it up. It was awesome. Kids were coming up afterward like, oh, thank you so much. See, the great thing about this was we were able to answer bigger questions mm-hmm. that people have been asking for years, but no one ever really answers. What's my purpose? What's the deal with the problem of evil? Why is the world the way it is? How does my story fit into God's overall story? And we even talked about giants. So that was fun. Bringing it home, the book Supernatural was really helpful for that. Like at the end of each chapter you have, well, why does this even matter? That helped me, present this material in such a way that says, yeah, this does matter and it does affect how I read the Bible. Now I'm lead pastor as of November and I'm still using this stuff. I haven't been fired yet. Instead of blogs, my youth pastor and I have been doing video blogs on our YouTube channel just to kind of dive in deeper with content. I've learned that the material you don't share is sometimes just as important as the material you do. So, I'm trying to be very, thoughtful with my approach, especially when I taught through, when I preached on Genesis 6 verses 1-4. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was so worried, about that, but, I practiced it in front of one of our staff members just told him, I'm like, look, pretend that you've never heard any of this stuff before and then grill me afterwards. So that, because I just wanted to be super clear with what I was teaching, because I realize, you know, this could go a whole lot of different directions. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it's good to have this, as someone else mentioned, this supernatural worldview that the Bible presents, because we as Westerners, you know, it's like we've been blinded. I felt that, like, you know, I grew up in the church, and I definitely had a Western worldview for sure. Still fighting that too, but.
I'm curious, you know, since the initial focus was on students, have any of your students read the Little Stranger Things book? I'm wondering if you had any Stranger Things fans in your group.
No, although one of their parents is. So, okay. But a few of the students picked up Supernatural and read through that.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
What would any of you say to this question? Okay, let's just pretend, you know, you have a pastor friend who comes up to you, or somebody, you know, who's teaching an adult Sunday school, and, you know, they either, it's time to come up with something new, or they got this dumped into their lap and they'd really like to jump into this, but they're afraid. Okay. They just, you know, how's it going to be processed? You know, I've read that blog that Scott talked about, you know, that somebody got kicked out. What do you say to the fearful pastor or the fearful, you know, teacher? What would your advice be?
Well, I would kind of take them to, for example, your first year example, like how do you explain it without like a supernatural worldview? And I've taken to some of those, I guess, tougher passages, even Genesis 6. I mean, how do the beginning of Genesis 6, how do basically normal humans and normal humans make giants? It's got to be something supernatural. So that's kind of how I approach it with people, even just people in class who kind of had a hard time with it. And then just, I guess, take them to the, where you start, or the Psalm 82, and show that this really was part of their worldview, that there were, I mean, Yahweh is the God of gods, but there are, they believe there were other gods out there.
Yeah, I mean, the way you guys have probably listened enough, or you've read enough to know that kind of the way I get into that is just to ask what seems like a simple question, but a lot of believers don't even really think about it. But, you know, when the Bible says that Yahweh is the God of all gods, does it mean what it says? You know, and you know, you go through your substitutes for the gods, you know, and all that. And again, there are a number of reasons why those answers are unsatisfying. You know, well, I'm better than a block of wood too. You know, I mean, what, you know, the idol thing doesn't satisfy. If the gods are humans, well, that just sounds kind of elitist or weird. Or so I like, you know, what you said there. You know, ultimately, you know, you guys have to know your people. You know, what is going to sort of grab them initially? What else do you guys think? I mean, what, some of the rest of you, what do you say to the fearful person here?
Well, I think, this is Tom, I think that it's hardest to talk to people that are entrenched in their doctrine. That it's almost like people that are outside, which are a lot of the nuns and the duns, you know, that group's almost easier to talk with. And I usually lead with the question, so where are you going to be in a billion years? And they'd look at me, big, long, mouth-breathing pause, and then say, in heaven? And I'd say, really? Oh, okay. Well, And then we'd have a conversation about that. And that's a good point to start in, because, you know, this resurrection thing's a big deal. And that heaven and earth coming back together is a big deal. And that really kind of, that starts it for me. That's how I open the conversation.
Do you think that's sort of a, I don't know, for lack of a better word, a comfortable or a familiar, it's familiar enough to start the discussion?
Well, it's certainly something people think they know. And then when they investigate a little bit, they realize, wait up, that isn't true. And then there's some other fun stories to hit. Like, you know, when Jesus was born. You know, from the scripture, we can kind of tell when those stars lined up. And women in ministry is a big one. And Noah's kids backing into the tent. And some of these things that are interesting stories where they think they have a solid understanding, and it's something that you can open a conversation with a question that's not threatening, and let them go for it to answer it, and see how that lines up with scripture, and that opens the door for me.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Scott here. I just have, I guess, three quick things. The first is, for me personally, I kind of had to internalize this before I'd even consider teaching it. Mm-hmm. So I
that's
took
pretty common too.
Yeah, I just needed to take the time because I knew like the rabbit hole went deep. So, you know, the second thing, what I'm trying to do, at least now as I'm the lead pastor, is I'm trying to almost create a vocabulary, although it's not mine, it's not my original thoughts. But, you know, when I took the church through Genesis 1 through 11, and we were talking about what does it even mean to be made in the image of God. And I used the term imager, and that was the first time many had ever heard that before, just how we're Yahweh God's representatives. We image him. It's not that, you know, maybe he has two hands and two feet. It's not that at all. You know, so I'm trying to build a vocabulary like imager or even believing loyalty, that kind of stuff. And I'm just kind of introducing terms slowly over time, because they inevitably come up no matter what you're teaching or preaching to through. I guess I said I had three things, but I forgot the third, but maybe it was
in your head.
Yeah, right. Maybe it was just laying down that foundation. You know, like I said, I started with Genesis 1 through 11, and what better foundation can you start with? So,
yeah, the vocabulary thing is actually, again, in my experience, just talking to pastors, that actually comes up a lot. Because when you introduce a new term, not only do you have to explain the new term, but it gets people to think about the old term. Well, what was inadequate about the old term? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that again, that comes up a lot. It seems to be pretty useful.
Yeah. Especially, imager. I had one person tell me that was super helpful for them, to wrap their minds around. And even, believing loyalty, we were in, you know, I've been throwing this term around now for months, and we were in a small group not long ago, and we were talking about just really big ideas, like our main purpose for even being here, and what does God really want? And finally, one guy spoke up, and he's like, "You know what? I think it just comes down to loyalty." And in my heart and in my head, I'm like, yes, you know, he got it. So, yeah, I think our vocabulary is important.
In our Colossians study we just finished, there's a brand new Christian in there. He's one of my friends. He just basically came out of atheism. And he said that he thought that basically Christianity was just a kind of escapist religion. And the whole image of God thing, like, was just said before, was he's like, that's the thing that like turned on the light bulb for me for Christianity, being taught more of a vocation, image bearing type thing. Imagers was kind of the, he's like, that's the thing that just set it off, and believing loyalty also, seeing that it's just not cognitive, but it's like allegiance and loyalty. So mm-hmm. Yeah, he said that that was like made Christianity make sense to him.
You know, in the last group we had, there were two, and you know, they both hit on this, but I think one, you know, one ministry, it seemed like a lot of their time, you know, was being devoted to, and it might have been a seasonal thing, but to what's a good way to describe this? Kind of a not just unchurched, but really. Really, sort of like an oppressed group. You know, you're down and out. They did a lot of mission work. They did a lot of counseling with addicts. they had a connection to social services where they were allowed to come in and you know, do Bible studies with, you know, people at, I don't know if it was a halfway house or it was some similar kind of situation. But do you guys, I mean, have any of you, there's no real, you know, delicate way to put this, but the impression I got from these two and the other group were it was often easier to connect with people in those groups than a lot of people, you know, in church, you know, that, and I don't, I think it goes beyond like an unchurched and a church. Like, you don't have to de-church people, even though I know there's that element, but for some reason, there seemed to be more ready connection points for whatever reason. Do you guys have any experience with groups like that, people like that, with the content? You know, has it helped anybody there? I'm just curious.
Well, I think, you know, just in general, people that aren't as tied to, this is Chad, but people that aren't as tied to materialistic things are a little more open to this idea of a spiritual battle going on around us. And they just are more open to that idea. But, you know, when we get tied up into our materialistic world, we have a tendency to just get sucked up into that. And yeah, I've never thought about it like that before, but there does, I guess I, as I think about it, there is some connection and folks that have been open to this idea, these ideas, in general. So
do you think that's, would you, what bucket would you put that in? Or maybe none of these, the life is a struggle. So I'm thinking more about life as a struggle.
Yeah. Or,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I think, you know, the gospel demands you understand yourself as needy, and until you're ready, you know, and I was going to say this too, in relationship to the material, in some ways the material, people have to be ready for the material. They need to, you know, you can't just force this on people. They're just going to dig in and reject it, if they're not ready for it. And that's where, you know, as a pastor, it becomes absolutely critical that we know when and how much, and, you know, the, you know, how much to give. And, you know, for my church, most of them, I don't want to say they were unchurched, but little churched maybe. And then you've got some who've never been a part of the church ever before. They're more open to these ideas. They don't have that doctrinal structure that says this is what you're allowed to believe about angels, or this is what you're allowed to believe about something supernatural, or this is what so-and-so said. We're not, you know, we're Baptist, but, you know, I guess a little B Baptist, but it's, we don't have that structure that kind of hems us in. So
it's interesting that you put it that way. This is what we're allowed to believe, you know, because again, just, In some denominational or creedal context, and you know, trust me, the content of Unseen Realm in the podcast is denominationally, you know, agnostic. I mean, I have emails and have had conversations with people just across the board, just across the range of denominations. So there's no necessary barrier at all, but it seems like the more, again, I'm not trying to put this in a negative way, but I'll use this word, the more dependent people seem on creedal formulations or historical figures within their tradition,
yeah,
then it's tougher for them.
Yeah, I that's been my experience. I bounced around a little bit from one place to another and one group to another, and finally just forgot about groups and just help to rebuild a church. So we're not tied into anything. And I enjoy that freedom.
Yeah,
you
me
know,
too.
You know where we came from. So, it's just been very freeing. I, you know, talk about some of your teaching, even not related to, well, it's related to Unseen Realm, but the content, just your understanding of original sin, that brought me tremendous
relief as I counsel people, and especially folks that have lost children and things mm-hmm. like that. You know, this stuff that's what I wanted to bring out is this stuff is not just ideas, you know, like it is on the podcast, or, but when it gets processed into a pastoral ministry, it becomes very hands-on, and all of a sudden these ideas become faces in front of you. And, you know, that, and that's where I've appreciated it the most. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Do you find, I'll ask it this way. When you're having conversations with people, either, you know, maybe during your teaching or just afterwards, or, you know, whatever, do they realize that they've been sort of selectively supernatural? I mean, for some people kind of see that, and it's not sort of a hurdle. You know, it's not like an intellectual barrier to cross, but others, it's like it's kind of jolting. So I'm just curious, do you run into that? You know, they go like, when they get this moment of realization that, oh, wow, the Bible does talk about this other stuff. How do people tend to process that?
This is Tom. Yeah, I think that the biggest thing that's a challenge for them is when you put the S on G-O-D, sure. And even if they can go into Google and look at their online Bible and just watch how many times it lights up with an S on the end, and that's a real barrier for a lot of people. And I try to stay away from some of that and use terms like, you know, the powers or principalities and things like that. And the other thing is the whole, there are several systems and doctrines around hell. And I try to stay away from that because that just unnecessarily turbocharges the conversation. So for me, there's some things to stay away from initially in the content, but if we can start with some good questions, that right. helps.
And I think everybody would agree, you know, that the fire hose is unnecessary and probably counterproductive. You know, you'll get to some of those other things down the road, and hopefully people will have a better framework for processing them when you do.
Yeah.
Anybody else along those lines? I'll let you think a little bit about a little story here. So you're talking about, you know, the putting an S on G-O-D. Okay. And so my Dallas Seminary article for Dallas's Journal, the BibSac article, this was 2001. So I had a friend on the faculty shepherding this article. It was the Deuteronomy 32:8 and the Sons of God article, you know, which was really an important article. And so he was shepherding this thing through the editorial process, you know, because it was a no-brainer. He's an Old Testament prof, you know, and he was one of the editorial staff of the journal at the time. And so he's helping me navigate the waters of the editorial, you know, process. And so we get to the end. And he tells me, you know, okay, you know, it's going to publish an XYZ, you know, issue and so on and so forth. And then like a day later, I get a phone call one evening from Roy Zuck, who was the lead editor at the journal. And he says, you know, I know what you're saying. I know what you're talking about here, but, you know, it really just feels a little troublesome, you know, to have, you know, gods, you know, in the discussion here. And so I said, well, why don't you just swap out the word gods with the word Elohim? You know, like, which is what the biblical text actually has. And he goes, wow, that really helps. You know, okay, we'll do that. You know, it's like this guy's been, you know, he's a New Testament prof, you know, and he was very well known. He's, you know, since passed away. But he just had to have this moment where I substituted the Hebrew term for the English, and the English was rightly translated, but it's like he could look at one and he couldn't look at the other, even though there was no semantic difference. So then when they published the article and I got the article, he didn't change a thing. He just had to hear it. You know? So that's not an uncommon sort of experience, you know, to, this is why, again, one of the reasons I say, look, it's just your Bible. You know, I didn't write it. It's just your Bible. You'll be okay. But for some, they just have to have this thing that helps them process that it is the biblical text. And now we know how to think about it and how to talk about it. So that's kind of par for the course. Anybody else, you know, have you had similar, you know, sort of experiences there?
Yeah, this is Scott. I was just going to say that, I was surprised that I haven't had a similar experience. If anything, it's just been like, people have described it as like, it's like they've been missing pieces of a puzzle and it's just kind of inserted, you know. One of the things that this content helps to do is to really give us an overall picture of God's meta narrative in the Bible. And that's been really helpful to just kind of see where we fit in this story. But yeah, as of yet, I know I'm still new. Just haven't really had any significant backlash or anything. I try to acknowledge that, you know, when I was wrestling through with it, it was weird for me too. So, you know, but I just try to be super clear.
Well, I was working on I'm working on a D-Min right now. And, I use some of the stuff from, we were talking about According to Nature, and I use some of the stuff from Troy Martin. You'd mentioned on your podcast one time, and I thought it was a wonderful example of how Paul understood what nature meant, and I just got about laughed out of the room. So that was my experience. So yeah. That's never a fun thing to go through. And that's where I say, I think people have their doctrinal, this is how I understand this type of material. I don't have room to understand it in a supernatural or, you know, just, you know, anything that's out of the norm. I don't have the ability to understand it that way. And so therefore it can't mean that. And it's like, well, if you just read it, that's what it means. And, I don't know. I don't waste too much breath on that. I just keep chugging along. So.
Yeah. I want to thank you guys for being here again. I like to hear stories, you know, I kind of miss testimonies just generally. I mean, churches don't do them anymore, it seems. But yeah, I appreciate, you know, hearing your experience and your stories and also your effort, you know, because this is, you know, as I'm sitting there writing stuff or producing stuff, this is what I hope happens to it. I'm hoping people actually, especially if they have, they're in leadership and they are teachers of other people, you know, I'm hoping that people pick it up and try to do exactly what you're doing. So I appreciate the effort and, you know, Lord willing, you know, you'll be able to continue it. You'll have more open doors and more people will get interested because ultimately I think people get interested in their Bible again. And they're able to make, you know, more, they're able to read it better, maybe more intelligently. I think meta narrative is important. And, that's the goal, you know, to help them just become better readers, better understanders of what in the world the thing's about. I think it would actually be helpful. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
All right, Mike, that was another great round of conversations. It's always interesting to hear people's perspectives and how they incorporate the material into teaching people and also the reaction that people have to the material.
Yeah, I'm always interested in how people first come across the content, you know, whether it's, you know, again, the individuals we had on and then, you know, that what their entry point was and then how they, you know, sort of ease into it or what they do with it. Cause, you know, I mean, I do lots of interviews, the podcast has been around for a while and there's so much on YouTube. So it's just really interesting what actually, you know, reaches, you know, different people. And there actually is a pretty wide variety. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, and people are spoiled now. I mean, just like One of them mentioned that, talking about the baptism, where they did just skip over like the experience you had. they're actually getting taught content now, because I mean, think about it. All of the people producing content now, especially us, there's just so much of it now that, I mean, Mike, 15 years ago, before I discovered you, there was just nothing. It was the Wild West.
Isn't that remarkable?
Looking, and look how much over the last 10 years things have changed. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's still pretty wild, but you have some outposts.
yeah, you do. But even really, it's been the last 5 years. The last 5 years has just been when the floodgates open, and there's just so much content now for people to absorb. They're almost overwhelmed with so much content. And having to, I think the job of the pastor now in the church and stuff is to absorb this content and try to teach it. It's interesting.
Yeah, it really is interesting, and I think it'll prove, providential, but, I think it'll continue to get used by, lots of people worldwide, that either that don't have, sort of the church structures that we're used to, or, here we're sitting here in the middle of this, coronavirus thing, trying to cope with that. As churches are forced to be less institutional, I think the content is going to really matter. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
Well, we want to thank Matt, Chad, Tom, and Scott for coming on. We appreciate that. And with that, Mike, I want to thank everybody else for listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, visit www.nakedbibleblog.com. To learn more about Dr. Heiser's other websites and blogs, go to www.drmsh.com.